busy day. I don't know if you know it or not, but Dwight works down at the local funeral home also. He doesn't embalm bodies, by the way, but he does help out, and he has been busy today, and anyway, helping with a memorial service and transporting bodies and things of that nature, and so we appreciate you hurrying back to be here tonight to lead our song service, and we're grateful for the presence of all of you that are here tonight. How many of you have ever been driving down the road and you see a sign that says roadblock ahead? You probably have seen many of them, probably in your lifetime. I have as well. You know, there are a lot of roadblocks in life. Sickness is a roadblock to good health. War is a roadblock to peace. Terrorism is a roadblock to security. And sorrow that is often acquainted with funerals or perhaps a lot of other things in life is a roadblock to happiness. One roadblock, however, is worse than any other. There are many of them in life, but one is worse than others. And you know what? We can't get rid of the roadblock of poverty. Jesus said, "The poor will be with you always." We can't get rid of the roadblock of hatred, because hatred will always be there and animosity will always abound in the hearts of some. We can't get rid of the roadblock of war, because Jesus said that there would be wars and rumors of wars, but see that the end is not yet. You know, the bloodiest war that was ever fought by the people of this country was what we call the Civil War. And it was a war that was fought over slavery. But we've not been able to conquer slavery, not really. Maybe we have in this country, but do you realize, I read the other day statistically on the internet, that there are over 27 million people still held in slavery around our world. But there is a roadblock that is worse than any other. And that is the roadblock that is spelled with three little letters. And we spoke about it this morning. And that is the roadblock of sin. You know, we live in what we call a no-fault society. No fault. Nobody's at fault anymore. Everything is relegated to some kind of illness or sickness. But no one is at fault. And don't you ever tell me that I have faults. We have gotten rid of the word sin in our vocabulary. People are no longer in sin. They are simply victims. Because if you're a victim, then you are not amenable and you are not accountable and responsible for your wrongdoing. Now, if you do wrong in life, you want to develop that kind of mentality that says, hey, wait a minute, I'm a victim of society. Society made me do this. If I get drunk, hey, I'm not responsible. Someone else is. It's the brewery. If I die from lung disease, from inhaling smoke into my lungs, it is not my fault. It is the fault of Philip Morris. If I addict myself to drugs, not my fault, someone else's. Someone else's. If I rebel against society, not my fault. Sin is a roadblock to fellowship not only with one another, but more especially a roadblock to the fellowship that we have with God. For Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and 2 says that your sin and your iniquity have separated you from God. And if you are separated from God, you do not have fellowship. You may have your name on the roll. And as I've said many, many times, you may have a relationship, but you don't have fellowship. A lot of people have a relationship, today. I think it was Hillary Clinton said one time, even about marriage, that is a contract. Relationship. But no fellowship. You see, Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I want you to think with me tonight about this sin problem. Do you know, first of all, that sin is a universal problem. It is something that is common to all people. Nobody lives totally above it. We all are guilty of sin. We're not victims, however, because the sin that we have in our life is because of our own undoing. And because of our doing, you cannot blame it on someone else. It is a choice that people make. That's why in today's world we have what we call educated sinners. We have smart sinners, folks. We really do. We have some very brilliant sinners in this world. We have rich sinners. We have poor sinners. We have liberal sinners. We have conservative sinners. And they're all battling out in Washington tonight. We have right-wing sinners. And we have left-wing sinners. We have drunken sinners and sober sinners. However, we make all kinds of differences in the world between what is moral and what is immoral. But the Bible nonetheless says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And if a man says, I have not sinned, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. And you know what? When a man claims to be a victim and does not step up to his own sin, the Word of God says that you're endeavoring to make God a liar. But that's the universality of sin. That's the nature of sin itself. No one likes to admit they're wrong. No one likes to admit their sin. That's why in the Bible only three times did anyone ever make a statement, I have sinned, period. But thank God for people who could. And thank God for people like the prodigal son who could come back home and say, I've sinned against thee and against heaven, and now I'm no more worthy to be called your son. And it is only until that takes place does God really forgive us of our sin problem, the roadblock that keeps us from going to heaven. But sin is not only a universal problem, sin is a personal problem. Several years ago, I used to live next door to a family when I was growing up. I tried to talk to the woman about the Lord Jesus Christ, and she said, you know what? I know I'm going to hell, and I'm not going to do anything about it. I said, that's your choice. You see, we choose our destiny, where we will live when life is over here. It is a choice that we make. And sin literally means to miss the mark. It really does. That's what that word actually means in the original language. It means to miss the mark. That is, there is a big target out there, and we're shooting at that target, and when we miss, we sin. When we try to live as God wants us to live, there are times when we're weak and we fail, and we miss the mark. By the way, I don't know if you knew it or not, you probably have never heard of a guy by the name of Matt Emmons. Matt Emmons was actually one who was gifted in archery. He entered the Olympics, and when time came for him to shoot his arrow, he hit the bullseye all right, but he was shooting at the wrong target, and he was eliminated from competition. You know what we do in life sometimes? We shoot at the wrong target. And then we blame everybody else. Sometimes we shoot at the target called success. And everybody wants to be successful in life. Some people say, that's the American dream. Everybody wants to be successful. And so we think, hey, the more money I can have and I can acquire in my life, the more successful I will be. And so we shoot at the wrong target. We like to climb the ladder of success. I was counseling with a man one time, and he told me, he said, you know, I climbed the ladder of success only to realize that years after my family had gone, that my ladder was propped against the wrong wall. There is a target of popularity at any expense. Some people are willing to do anything it takes to be popular. And we shoot at the wrong target. Sometimes, as I said, we fail to face up to our own wrongdoing. How many of you have ever found an apple with a hole in it? Anybody? What was wrong with it? Anybody know? No, there's no worm in it. The worm is out. Now, believe it or not, if you find an apple with a worm in it, the worm has already bored itself out. That is true. That might not be true with plums and some things, but it's true with an apple. Because what happens is when that seed germinates, there is a germ already implanted right there. And that worm grows, and that worm begins to bore himself out of that apple. And when you find a hole, the worm is gone. You know what? That's the way sin is, isn't it? Doesn't it start in our life, down deep in our soul, and it bores its way out? It becomes, it starts in the mind, and then it becomes a part of your life. Sin gets into your heart. And then it openly manifests itself. People don't like sermons on sin. I understand that. But Jesus addressed it. And every one of the letters in the New Testament address it. There's a third thing you need to know. Not only is sin universal and sin is personal, but sin is a spiritual problem. It is. We sin every day. It is a spiritual problem. We are not good at being bad, but we are not all bad at being good. At least that's what I read in a funny paper one time. Dennis the Menace said that. But you know what? There's only one way to get around or over or under the roadblock, and that is the cross. Always has been. God has always had a remedy for your sin and for mine. Now, a lot of people try to come up with their own remedy. A lot of people try to manufacture their own way out of sin. It doesn't happen. And you know what? When you read the Bible, you understand that there are only two classifications of sinners. They're either forgiven or they're unforgiven. The forgiven are those who are going to heaven. And those who have fallen under the great and wonderful mighty and the grace of God. But others are those who have chosen to take themselves out from under God's grace. Sin is a spiritual problem. It's one we don't like to admit, and it's one that we do not like to face up to. But it is still nonetheless a very serious problem. And sin is more than a sickness. It is. I think it's one of the biggest problems that we face in America tonight. And We're talking about all the problems that are going on in Washington tonight. You know what concerns me more than the debt limit? Is the fact that our nation needs to be called back to God. We are a nation that is adrift in a sea of sin. Mark, I appreciate your prayer this morning. You were thanking God for those people who would gather in a chapel and pray about the decision that they have to make concerning our nation. Would to God that every one of them would. Sometimes those who go to Washington think it's some great big party and we're here to live it up and forget what the American people want and what is best for our nation. You know what that is? That's sin, folks. That's because of the sin problem. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hellfire and all the nations that forget God. It's a very serious problem. It's not one to laugh at, scorn at, not one to overlook, shove under the rug. It's one that we all have to face up to. And I hope that God would help each and every one of us tonight that when we sin, I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you why it's so important for you when you sin to get to God as quick as you can with your sin. Is because when you don't, the devil will get into the presence of God and try to make it look much worse than it really is. Sin's not an easy thing to confess. It's not easy to own up when we do wrong. But it's the right thing. And tragically, some people go into eternity with sin still in their lives, unprepared to meet God because they didn't take the step that put them closer and beyond that roadblock. The roadblock will always be there. And there's only one way over it, as I said, under it, around it, and that's the cross. Do you believe tonight, in your heart of hearts, that there are some things in your life that are amiss? There's just some sin at your door right now that might keep you out of heaven. Why would you stay where you are without repenting and getting right? We're going to sing a song in just a minute. And in that song, one of those verses says, tomorrow may never come to bless your long deluded sight. And sometimes we delude ourselves. Sometimes it's self-delusion that keeps us from really being honest with ourselves and honest with God and acknowledging our transgressions and our sin. David said, my sin is ever before me. And you know what? It was not until he repented. Couldn't sleep. Had trouble sleeping at night. Had trouble living during the day. According to Psalms chapter 32, but he said, my sin is ever before me. And then he acknowledged his sin unto God. And he could say, blessed is the man whose sin is covered, whose iniquity is removed. And that's the way I want to cover my sin tonight, with the blood of Jesus, and I hope you do too. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement here in just a moment. And if you're not a Christian tonight, God's grace is always open to you and for you, for those who would turn to Him in obedience to His gospel to be baptized for the remission of sin. Or perhaps if you've erred from God's way and you've committed sin, then the best way to deal with that is just to be upfront about it and acknowledge it and go on. You'll never find happiness, folks, running from it. I'm afraid sometimes people fail to realize that one of these days when Christ comes again, those who are still in sin are going to be running from God. But those of us who are children of God and Christians and faithful to the Lord are those who are going to be running toward Him. What will it be for you while we stand and while we sing?